Tragically, 22 of our brave veterans commit suicide every day as a result of post-traumatic stress disorder.
It's hard to believe that a brave veteran takes their life in this country every 65 minutes just because they're not getting treated for PTSD.
The website Gawker has published the suicide note of an Iraq War veteran who says he took his own life because the trauma of war left him in constant mental and physical agony.
I've been covering wars for almost 20 years, and one of the remarkable things for me is how many soldiers find themselves missing it. I had a dinner party one night. I invited him, and he started talking with a woman, and she said, "Brendan, is there anything at all that you miss about being out in Afghanistan, about the war?" Finally said, "Ma'am, I miss almost all of it." What is he talking about? I think what he missed is brotherhood. What he missed was connection to the other men he was with. Now, brotherhood's different from friendship. Brotherhood has nothing to do with how you feel about the other person. It's a mutual agreement in a group that you will put the welfare of the group, you will put the safety of everyone in the group above your own. In effect, you're saying, "I love these other people more than I love myself."
Welcome to the Operation High Ground podcast. In these podcasts, you'll hear helpful information focused on the reintegration of our heroes returning home from active duty. Here now is Executive Director Rick Norling.
The biggest challenge that Iraq War veterans face, and frankly, that we're beginning to recognize that the traumatic experiences don't go away, that post-traumatic stress is a factor that veterans will be dealing with their whole lives.
One of the greatest mission fields in America today is our veterans. Many vets that come home from duty suffer from PTSD, and many times this has affected their personal life. Too often, these vets are within walking distance of a church where they could find help, but are not encouraged to do so. Rick Norling, Executive Director of Operation High Ground, is with us today, and we're going to talk about veterans. We're going to talk about the local church and how they can bring healing and help to our service members. Rick, tell us a little bit about how you got involved with the military veteran families and the deployed.
That's a question that's going to take some time to answer. It was a number of years ago, I was invited to a gathering in a northern suburb of the Twin Cities. And it was then the state National Guard chaplain, John Morris, Major Morris at that time, was giving a presentation at one of the local churches. And he opened my eyes to some of the issues. And to be quite honest, his presentation opened my eyes to the point where it changed my life. And it was a seed that was planted from that point on. And it continued to grow and has continued to grow in a large, large way.
So why do you think so many, can we say, church and civic organizations don't necessarily put the veteran at the top of their list?
Well, again, that's a question like how high is up. But in that range, I would say one of the reasons is that people, first of all, don't understand what's going on in the veterans' lives. Second of all, it's like healthcare. If something's not affecting you directly, you don't look into it yourself. If you don't have a pain, you don't go to the doctor. And if something isn't staring you right in the face, you're not going to look into it. Unfortunately, we're a society that doesn't act, we react.
Well, and that reaction, of course, we're hoping that through the podcast here and through your organization, Operation High Ground, you will create an attention-getting mechanism that people can begin to investigate how they can get involved and how they can perhaps get their church or civic group involved with you. So let's talk about the church for a few minutes. There are approximately, in the United States, 400,000 churches, and there are a variety of backgrounds and denominations and so forth. But that's a lot of outposts. And ideally, every church, if they could have a outreach to the veteran, we could handle all the veterans that have come back since World War II. Why is it that we don't probably have a lot of churches involved with the veterans organizations? Partially because of what you just said, but part of the church's ministry is to bring hope and healing to those who are hurting.
You're absolutely right, Larry. Help and healing is a big part of what the church is required to do, or called to do, if you will. Different churches go down different realms and they look at it, but by its nature, I would go as far as to say, I don't know any religion that isn't out there to help its constituents. constituents. So yes, in understanding that, I don't know if there's many questions that I don't know the answer to. I've often thought to myself, is it that the pastors are so stressed, they're so overworked that they don't have time to look into something new? Is it the fact that if God hasn't given them a vision, that they're not interested in looking into it? Could it be, again, they don't have anybody that they feel is qualified to lead that group? Do they want to give up the pulpit? There's so many questions that I don't know the answer to, and I guess it's an individual one.
Well, in some cases, I think many pastors and church congregations aren't aware of the need. I know as a vet myself, I have never seen a church take an interest in me as a veteran. And I think it's just because they think maybe the government takes care of them. Them meaning the veterans. So I think it's an awareness thing. And so let's just talk a little bit about, in your mind, what does it look like in your mind, Rick, if a church says it would like to have an outreach to the veteran community? What would that look like to you?
Well, to me, the first question is what caused you to come to this point? Now we have a starting point of where to go from. So what is your interest? Are you trying to reach the community? To me, it's an obvious choice because, you know, as a church, most people, at least in my experience, most of the churches that I've been involved with, the people have a mission to reach the hurting. So once you understand that there's a whole group of people out there, some of the studies are, for example, are so diverse, I guess is a good word to use, that they'll say that the veteran population is less than 1% of the United States population. But in some areas, between 38 and 45%, depending on which study you're looking at, of the homeless people are veterans. Now, we've got an issue that we need to deal with. And so we've got people that are struggling. But what we have to understand is that it's not just the veterans that are struggling. It's the veterans and their families and their extended families. It's the children. What do the children do when a parent is deployed? What does the spouse do? How do we renegotiate the roles when somebody comes back from a 23-month deployment? Because the spouse that stayed at home has adapted to doing all the things that the deployed spouse was doing prior to the deployment. Now they come back together, and it's not just like they pick up where they left off and go back into things. They have to renegotiate life altogether, and so be it for the children of these situations. So there's a lot of people out there that are hurting, and there's a lot of roles that the church, just by its design and its nature, can fit the bill. Many of the churches are only open on Sundays. That's 6 days a week that the church is closed. So there's got to be a veteran in one of the church groups, and that veteran could easily lead a lay ministry and open the door to the veterans so the veterans could find a place of fellowship other than a place where everybody sits around and drinks and complains.
Well, I think that's a very good point, Rick, because like you say, every congregation probably has a veteran or two, and these are the types of people that have the biggest understanding of what it's like to be deployed, what it's like to come back, what it's like to have PTSD. It would seem to me that if those folks were properly trained, properly motivated, every church in America could have a ministry of outreach to the veteran community. So let's talk a little bit, Rick, about what kinds of issues do veterans have coming back. Let's just look at the returning vet for a moment.
I'm going to go back first to what you just said a few minutes ago. And one pastor had told me in the past, in talking about some of the veterans' issues, and like you said, many of them are highly trained, they're highly motivated. But the big thing the churches overlook is many people have said to me in the past that post-traumatic stress is one of those things where we feel that we have a powder keg or a ticking time bomb. That's not the case. What's happening, though, is in the military standpoint, you have to understand the military life, where you might not like the person standing next to you or sitting next to you or even bunking with you. You might not like the color of their skin. You might not like the way they worship. You might not like the way they talk. But when the manure hits the oscillating blade, that person is willing to lay their life down for you. And that's the kind of people and the loyalty and the family and the fellowship that the churches are looking for. And this pastor, as he explained it to me, says there couldn't be a more ideal person to come in and understand how the whole system works, not trying to change it, to be part and to blend right in, because that's what they're missing with their military life.
Well, that's true. They've gotten accustomed to the military life. They come back into civilian life, and nothing is the same as it was when they left it. So right away, they're like a fish out of water. in terms of their relationship with their loved ones. They don't understand the things that this deployed one saw or experienced while he was deployed or she was deployed. There's some real gaps in order to be bridged in order to bring somebody back into health.
I recently read a book by Sebastian Younger. It's called Tribe. And it's about belonging. And it became very clear to me in dealing with the church level. Sebastian Younger is a writer for Vanity Fair who went and spent a certain amount of time, I think at least three deployments or at least partial deployments with the Ranger Division in Afghanistan. And what he learned from that was mind-boggling. And Tribe talks about the tribe mentality and even back to the early settlers. And to me, it was incredibly eye-opening because what these service members long for is an organization, is a tribe type of mentality that they get into. They come into society and they see families of four eating dinner, talking on their cell phones to whoever and not communicating. And they desperately miss this. And they need the community, they need the fellowship, and they need to belong someplace. And by its nature, the church is the only place that I know that really offers that and is designed to do that.
So Rick, as we're talking today about the military, the members that are deployed, what about the family? The people that are left behind by the deployed person, how do they deal with life? And is there an opportunity there to reach out to while their loved one is deployed?
Everybody in every church or in every block or in every neighborhood knows somebody who's been affected by some type of deployment. Case in point, when everybody took off, they went overseas to start this battle, this war, this conflict, whatever you choose to call it. When they went over there, then they came back, everybody had a stake in the game. They were welcoming. You saw yellow magnets on the back of cars. Everybody was involved. But after a period of time, people tend to forget about it and they take it for granted because they're not part of it. The civilian sector who takes advantage of it and ignores it or becomes used to that, it seems to go away for them. It doesn't for the families. The families are struggling on many, many levels. The children have lost a prime role model during the course of this deployment. The spouse has struggled to make ends meet, perhaps had to take two jobs and was extremely busy taking care of the kids. In the case where there's no kids, the person has lost their social structure. The church, again, has people inside there that knows these people, and sometimes as much as somebody just reaching out and saying, come on, let's go out to have a cup of coffee, let's go out and do these things, and getting people to talk, because people need to talk, people need to share. And the healing in almost every situation, whether it be counseling, whether it be a gathering, a lunch, whatever it means, starts with communication, and that's where the whole thing begins.
Well, I think you're right. I think that getting people to converse about issues that they're experiencing, the loneliness that they have found with the absence of their deployed loved one. So as we've been talking about these things, Rick, talking about the vet, the deployed military person, the returning vet, and the veteran's family. If somebody is interested in learning more, especially a church member, a church leader, what do you offer opportunities for you to come and speak to a group, speak to the church, so that they can ask questions, learn more about how they may be able to reach out to the veterans and their families in their communities?
Absolutely. I hate to overuse that word absolutely, but we definitely have a program, and I'm available to go anywhere pretty much at any time for speaking engagements, to be able to talk to the general population of the church. What I've done in the past is most of the churches have a multimedia program set up where they can, either for their worship or for slides or different things that they have, and we have a trailer of a video series that we produced. It's called Passing the Baton. And it's, again, passing the baton is picking up the baton from the military chaplains. And one of the reasons we focus so highly on the churches is because by their nature, the military chaplains are the only ones, and again, by their job title, it's their job to have their fingers on the emotional pulse of the military. They are the ones that deal with the millennials that the churches are struggling with and how to deal with now. They're professionals at dealing with the millennials and the issues that are about in the transition. They nurture these people. They help them with what they're doing. And when they go stateside again, or when the end of their time is up and they become on the civilian side, they have nobody to communicate with. And the churches don't understand it. So passing the baton is basically taking the role from the military chaplains and all their knowledge and bringing it to the church. Now, the video series that we did, Passing the Baton, is a 6 DVD training series designed specifically for the church and the civilian community. Now, since we've released it, we have found that it is so powerful that a number of military bases are using it for their transition teams on their chaplain side. That was a wonderful takeaway and a surprise. It's something that we didn't expect. But this video series is a 6-DVD training series that tells all of the issues of the reintegrating service member and their families. We don't limit to just the problems. The first 5 videos deal with some of the issues. The first one is coming home, what a service member experiences when they come home, what the family experiences when they come home. The second one is emotional trauma, dealing with the emotional trauma of, again, trying to reintegrate back into society and what they've seen and how they adapt and how they relate to some of it. The third one is addiction, some of the addictions that take place that help to compensate and what we need to know from a societal standpoint. The fourth video is the veteran and the family, what the family sees when they come home and what the veteran sees in the family, or how the two of them relate to each other. The fifth one is society and the same thing, how the veteran relates to society and how the society relates to the veteran. But the sixth one is the most important one, and that is our responsibility and what we can do. Now, we're very clear to not get into doctrine because the chaplains are talking like the chaplains would talk. We don't step on any of the toes of the churches. We let the churches deal with their own doctrine and the way they present the gospel and the way they choose to portray their take on it. That's between them and God, and we just are giving them the tools so they can now understand, and they're approaching it from an informed standpoint where they haven't done that in the past. Another example is, in the video series, we had one of the chaplains talking about how she said that one of the people came home from deployment, and this person was the finance clerk in the vault in Bagram. Now, although they've been trained in levels of combat, they still lost a couple of friends and loved ones over there, and they're dealing with survivor's guilt. And they're feeling that they should have done something, but they did their job, even though it wasn't out in the field like they were trained to do. Now they come back and they're feeling really like a fake in some way. Somehow that happens. And they're feeling bad about themselves, and somebody slaps them on the back and they says, "Welcome home, you hero," which causes them to slide even deeper into a hole that, again, only the church can help them pull their way out of. And that's where we give them the information where they're able to do those things and the church is able to dig from a new level.
So the series that you're talking about, the video series, is called Passing the Baton. It's these 6 videos. How do they get a hold of it?
We make that available at no charge to any church or civic group that needs it. We can be reached at info@operationhighground.org.
And at that address, at that web address that you just gave, you can find out more about the organization, Operation High Ground. You've got some videos, you've got some information about what you do, who you are, all of that. Is that correct?
That's correct. We can be reached at Facebook at Operation High Ground. We can also be reached on Twitter at Op High Ground, O-P High Ground, and it's O-P High Ground at Twitter as well.
Rick, it's been a delight to get to know you, to hear a little bit of your vision and mission as the Executive Director of Operation High Ground. Any last word?
There's a need, and so many people are out there trying to make a living and trying to do their best about bringing awareness for post-traumatic stress. And again, I don't call it post-traumatic stress disorder, I call it post-traumatic stress. Some people have found that in the later parts of advanced Alzheimer's, when all the short-term and long-term memory come forward, that the trauma stays in the reaction side of the brain, not in the memory. People live out their last days in that stage of dementia in the trauma. That's how powerful this is. And people just bringing awareness without a solution, it becomes organized complaining, and people get real tired of it and they shut down to it. People are tired of being told how stupid they are, or they assume that they're being stupid because they're aware of post-traumatic stress. They don't want to hear it anymore. And it's slowly becoming an overused phrase that people are using it anywhere from breaking up with a girlfriend or a level that's uncomfortable becomes traumatic. And that's not the case. This is a very serious issue, and it's specific that needs to be dealt with. And again, we feel that only the church and the fellowship of like-minded people put together will solve this problem. We're putting it together so creatively through a group, they can come up with solutions based on the resources that they have available to them.
Once again, Rick, give us your website so people can get to you.
You can reach us at www.operationhighground.org.
Operation High Ground is a nonprofit organization that needs financial support to continue to grow and serve. If you would like to support us, you can reach us at operationhighground.org or you can email us at info@operationhighground.org. Operation High Ground is committed to the continued support of our veterans and their families. Thank you for your interest and support of this program.